Please rise as you are able for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel lesson this morning is from Luke chapter 6 verses 20 through 31. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Quick show of hands. How many of you here today consider yourself a saint? Wow. I only see a few. We're going to have to work on that. Hopefully that'll change before we're done today. But first, a personal story. I grew up on the west side of Cincinnati, which is a highly Catholic area. My brother and I had friends up the street, Tony and Jason, who were the same age as us, and we played together all the time. But we didn't go to school together. Tony and Jason went to St. Catherine's. When I asked why they didn't go to Westwood Elementary, the answer was, because we're Catholic. My babysitter down the street, Mrs. Ballard, she went to St. Catherine's also. She and her family were Catholic. But when I asked her what that meant, she couldn't really tell me. Or maybe she didn't want to, I don't know. My family was Methodist. And I was always trying to figure out what was the difference between Methodist and Catholic. I asked my mom one time what was the difference. And she told me that one of the differences is in the way that we pray. As Methodists, we only pray to God, she said. We believe that we have direct access to God through Jesus, so we don't pray to anyone else, whereas Catholics pray to the saints rather than going straight to God. Now, if you know more about Catholicism than my mom does, you can take that up with her, but that I'm just telling you what she told me. Methodists only pray to God, Catholics pray to the saints. Well, here's the problem with that explanation to my 7-year-old mind. I had no idea what a saint was. Remember, I was Methodist. We didn't have saints. We didn't talk about saints. I didn't know what a saint was, other than I knew apparently Catholics prayed to them. I knew what a priest was. So when I heard the word saint, my young mind was thinking priest. That misunderstanding led to a very confusing image in my mind. I pictured Mrs. Ballard preparing dinner for her family. The food is all prepared. It's set out on the table, ready to be eaten. And then the whole family gets in the car and drives up the street to St. Catherine's, where they line up to say a prayer to the priest before eating their meal, and then they head back home to enjoy their dinner. Man, I'm glad I'm not Catholic, I thought. They must never get a hot meal. Of course, you know that's not what a saint is. In the Catholic Church, a saint is a Christian who has died and has been declared an especially holy person by the church hierarchy through a long process called canonization. And the first step is being declared venerable, meaning that the person's life is deemed one of heroic virtue, worthy of being emulated. And the next step is beatification. The deceased person who has already been declared venerable is then given the title of blessed, if a miracle can be attributed to that person. And then following this, if a second miracle can be attributed to the blessed, then he or she is a candidate for canonization as a saint. It's usually a very long process with lots of investigations and verification and a detailed analysis of the deceased person's life and writings. That's not the way the Bible uses the word saint, though. The word saint simply means holy person. And it's not necessarily even a deceased holy person, although that's the way we tend to use it today, even in Protestant churches. The way Paul uses the word saint in the New Testament, in his letters, it's almost synonymous with Christian. He addresses several of his letters to the saints. His letter to the Colossians, he says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ in Colossae. To the Ephesians, he writes, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. His letter to the Philippians, he addresses to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. It's obvious that he was writing his letters to living people, not to people who had already died. It's also obvious that the saints to whom he refers are not necessarily the headline stars of the church. They're not the priests. They're not the bishops. He says the saints are with the bishops and deacons, not that the saints are the bishops and deacons. In other words, saints, according to biblical usage, are the ordinary faithful churchgoers. It's all of you. Did you know that you're a saint? Oh, I'm no saint, you're saying to yourself. I'm no holy person. Ah, but you are, if you are in Christ. If you are a Christian, then you are a saint. None of us are holy of our own power, our own merit, our own goodness, but we are holy. We are made holy because of the righteousness of Christ imparted to us. Once we receive Christ as our own, once we accept the forgiveness and the restoration he brings, once we cling on to his righteousness as our salvation, as soon as that happens, we are made holy. As soon as we receive Christ as Lord and Savior, we become saints. Don't wait until death, saying, oh, I hope I make it. I hope I'm good enough. I hope I'm deemed worthy when the time comes. You don't have to wait and wish. You can claim your inheritance right now. Because it's not about your merit. It's all about his grace. It's not about the good that you've done. It's about what he has done for you. Christ offered his life so that we might have life. Christ imparts his righteousness so that we might be made holy. I'm not perfect. Neither are you. But Christ is perfect. And he makes us into his saints. The question is that what you want? Do you want to be made holy? Do you wish to be a saint? Some people reject that idea on the grounds that it will make them appear to be holier than thou. That if they claim their identity as the saints of God, then they will be ridiculed and mocked. And you know what? To an extent, they're right. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. That's what Jesus said to his disciples in our scripture reading for today. When you are excluded and despised on account of Jesus, you are blessed. And the flip side of that, if you are truly blessed, that is, if you are saved, if you do accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you do accept your forgiveness in Him and receive His righteousness as your own, if you cloak yourself in His holiness and embrace your calling as His saint, then you're going to face some persecution. Or if not all-out persecution, you're at least going to face some judgment from those who think you're full of it. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets, said Jesus. If you are more concerned about pleasing those around you, gaining accolades from the world, from society, if you're more concerned about that than you are with being who you were created and called to be in Christ Jesus, then you have a reckoning coming. Jesus refers in this passage to the prophets of the Old Testament times. If you recall, the prophets of the Old Testament were not received so well among their own people. Jeremiah was imprisoned at the bottom of a muddy cistern. Elijah was chased by the king who wanted to take his life. Ezekiel was considered crazy. According to tradition, Isaiah was sawn apart. The false prophets, however, well, they were revered. Whenever the leaders and people of Israel were headed for trouble, there was never any shortage of false prophets telling them, keep going, you're doing great, nothing to fear. And those false prophets were rewarded for saying what the people wanted to hear. They were rewarded in the short run, but disaster soon came. Jesus says, blessed are you when people revile you because of the Son of Man, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. And likewise, he says, woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. Now, I have to say, that really challenges me. I'm a person who likes to be liked. I love it when people praise me for one thing or another. I really do. Criticism, on the other hand, cuts me to the quick. I will spend hours, days even, agonizing over every word I said and everything I did to see how I messed up. It eats me up sometimes. But then I'll confess, there are those times that I remember this passage of what Jesus said, and I'll feel so self-justified when someone criticizes me, like, yeah, Jesus said it would be like this for the righteous. It's the cross I have to bear for being so holy. Yeah, that's not what Jesus was talking about. What Jesus was talking about is, who are we trying to please? Who are we trying to please? Are we most concerned with pleasing others, pleasing society, putting on a good face, doing whatever we have to do to gain the praise of the world? Or are we most concerned with following Christ's lead and holding on to the truth? The truth is, if we're doing that, if we're following Christ's lead, then there are going to be times when others will judge us and reject us, just like they did with him. There will be times. That doesn't mean that every time someone rejects you, it proves that you're being godly. But it does mean that you can't measure the degree of your godliness by the accolades or objections of those around you. You can only measure your faithfulness to God by how your actions stack up to the Word of God. But I say to you that, listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. That is the word of God. That is God's will for us, revealed in Jesus Christ. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Those are not easy words to hear. Harder still to actually put them in practice. And yet that is what a saint does. That is how a saint lives. And let me be clear, a saint doesn't live that way because they are morally superior to everyone else or because they are more holy. Rather, a saint lives that way because of the power of the Spirit of Christ living in them. It is Christ's righteousness, not their own, that shines through. It is the perfection of Jesus Christ and not their own holiness that a saint relies upon. You see, a saint is a person who allows the Spirit of Christ to dwell within them, leading the way in all things. A saint is a person who dies to self so that Christ can live in them. A saint is a person who puts Christ first in all things, including their motivations, their convictions, their interpersonal transactions. A saint is a person for whom Christ is not just their model for life, but their power for living. Their power for living in forgiveness, forbearance, and love. Is this not what every Christian strives for? Is this not what it means to be a Christian, to accept Christ as both Savior and Lord? So when I ask you the question, do you want to be a saint? That is the very same thing as asking, do you want to be a Christian? Because there is no going only part way in being a Christian. Either you take Christ as your own or you don't. There is no such thing as a sort of Christian. Either you give yourself over to Christ for the glory of God or you continue to live to yourself for your own glory. We don't, as Christians, get the option of saying, well, I'm willing to forgive this, but not that. We don't get that option. We don't, as Christians, have the authority to say, I'm willing to love this person, but not that person. We don't, as Christians, have the choice of saying, I want to be a Christian, but not a saint. If you have been justified by Jesus, then you are also being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. If you have received the perfect love of Jesus, then you are being perfected in love. If you have been cleansed by the love of Jesus, then you are being made holy. If you are a true Christian, then you are a saint of God. And if you are not, if you have not yet accepted Christ's righteousness as your own, if you have been trying to live on your own authority to your own glory, if the love of God is not growing stronger in you every day because you have put up roadblocks to God's grace, it's not too late. You can begin today. You can be made holy today. You can be born a saint today. This is the day of salvation. Christ's blood has been shed for you, for your forgiveness, for you to be put right with God. The Holy Spirit can come upon you now and begin that work of sanctification, to pour the life of Christ into you so that you begin to live that life of holiness. All you need to do is want it and accept it. All you have to do is confess, Give yourself over to Christ right now and welcome His grace and His Spirit. And when you do that, as soon as you do that, then you are united by God's grace with Christ Himself and with all those who have ever lived and died in the faith. Those saints we named here this morning, those saints who went ahead long before, when you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, then you have eternal life in union with all those who have gone before us. Then you have the promise of salvation, the promise of heaven, and your place among that great cloud of witnesses. Is that what you want? And if it is, are you willing to claim it today? Are you willing to die to yourself this moment so that you can live in Christ forever? That is what it takes to be a Christian. That is all it takes to be a saint. Let us pray. Oh God, I pray to you now. For anyone who is this moment giving themselves over to you, allowing you to knock down those roadblocks, those obstacles that they have put up all this time, and just welcoming in your grace, your love, your forgiveness, your mercy. Receive them, Lord, and let them know that salvation that comes only through Jesus. Thank you for His sacrifice. Thank you for His love. Thank you for His Spirit that He pours out upon us to cleanse us, to make us holy, to strengthen us for holy living. May we open ourselves to that Holy Spirit. Empower us now, Lord. Fill us in the name of Jesus. Amen.